Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Ben Starr, Julian Joiello.
Hey there.
Julian good to be back.
We just keep exploring new issues. Now, you know, we've been doing this for so many years. Or I've been doing this for so many years. You often wonder, where did the ideas come from? How does he wake up and think, well, today we're going to talk about how people feel about their nose? And I'll take that as a concept, and I'll think about it, and I'll run with it. And so for 5,000 shows, programs, by now, I think it's about 5,000. There's been a different one. Maybe some have been repeated a few times. But the other day, the other Sunday morning, I'm lollygagging around. I'm taking it nice and easy. It's a Sunday morning, and I decide to check on the weather, and I'm going to look on the Weather Channel. As I'm flipping through the remote, nice, easy Sunday, there appears this face, and I look at this face, and the guy looks like a young Gary Null. I say, oh, that's Gary. But it wasn't Gary. It was a man named Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen is this minister?
Yeah, he's a Protestant minister in Houston.
Protestant minister in Houston who's very, 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 very well known, but I don't very, very well know him because I don't listen to Protestant ministers very often. But he was saying something that touched me. It touched me because it was on that Sunday. It was following Thanksgiving. I was thinking about other people that I know who are involved in this, and he was talking about honoring. He said he wanted to cover this issue of honoring. Now, I will say that I listened to the whole thing, and I was captivated by it, captivated by what he was saying. Although his reference was that there was like a bank that if you honor people, it goes to God, and then God comes back and gives you goodies. You know, like there's a cash register, it kind of works backward towards you. And I may not agree with anything about him and what he's saying philosophically. But the concept was really fascinating, the way he spoke about it. And so then I called Ben, and I said, Ben, you know, there's this minister I just told, and you said what to me?
I said, oh, you must be watching Joel Osteen.
How do you know of him, Ben?
You know, I've just heard about him over the years. He's incredibly famous. I mean, he runs the biggest church in America. There's 40,000 people that go to his sermon every Sunday. And he's on TV. He sold out Yankee Stadium a few years ago, came here and preached. So, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, you don't necessarily maybe agree with him on a philosophical level, but he's a great speaker, incredibly charismatic. And when you told me about this, I looked it up online. I watched the video of him discussing this, and it does have a lot of great points in it.
Great points. His whole concept of honoring, you know, the whole idea of, like, we've been told in Catholicism, I was told, honor your parents, right? That's what they taught us, honor your parents. What does that mean? And how many people can honor their parents when their parents are abusive? What's the idea behind that? Is the idea that you're supposed to honor somebody who is abusive to you? Is that the idea? Do you think that's what it's supposed to be, Ben?
I think it begs a lot of difficult questions. Like, is it possible to honor too much? I mean, what do you think about that? If you're the kind of person who's always sort of honoring the others around them, do you become a sort of doormat?
Well, let's just start with the parents. Okay, if you start with your parents, the first place you're supposed to be doing it is with your parents. Now, this is, of course, the way Joel Osteen delivered it. He delivered it at the beginning as honoring the person walking down the street. What does that mean? It means recognizing. It means seeing. It means respect. It means when you walk down the street, you see another human walking down the street, you somehow let them know that you are grateful for their existence. He calls that honoring. You have somebody who is at work with you. you walk over to them and you give them something that makes them believe that you feel gratitude that they exist at this place. Even if it's somebody who's just delivering the coffee or something like that. Hey, you know, I love the way you put the coffee cups down when you put them down. You seem to really care about what you're doing. Now, according to Joel, and I'm in full agreement with this, every bit of that counts. Every bit of that works, and it's so difficult to do.
So if it's constant, is it always genuine, though? If you're constantly in this place of gratitude, it can't always necessarily be genuine.
Well, I'll tell you, Julian, I would like it to be genuine with me. I would love to even further develop my ability to do that without being obsequious. Now, that's an important thing. I don't want to do it just to do it. But I want to do it because I want it to be what I see. And see what Osteen said in this particular lecture that he was giving was that when you give to someone, when you give someone some kind of a recognition, and if it's even just a person you're working with right now, if you say to them, I love the way you've arranged your desk, and it's something real, you say something, it has meaning. It has meaning to them. Right? Now, of course, it does open a door of invitation. It does say, hey, come on, you know, if you want to comment on me or if you want to say something back and forth, it's okay. Or they may get embarrassed by what you have to say. So you've got to be prepared for it on the other side. But he starts off there. He starts off with the people that you barely know. And think about it today, my friends. Think about the people around you today. Is there anybody around you today that you could honor? Honor is such a big word because it sounds like you're going to bow in homage. You know, you're going to kneel down. But it's really about recognition. It's really about giving something positive, saying something positive to another human.
It could be a very simple thing, small gesture.
But it's interesting, actually, when you get to, I was mentioning before with you guys, Asian culture. In Japan, if you don't know somebody, you actually show a lot more respect at times. You'll bow deeper and deeper. And literally, I mean, bow to this person. Lower your head below theirs to show them honor and show them respect. And it's not a small gesture. It's a pretty big deal to do, and it's something that everybody does every day.
I remember once I met with a man who was Japanese, and I gave him my business card. He asked for my card, and I gave him my card, and he looked at the card, and he looked at it with such study, such respect for the card itself. He spent time with it. He turned it over. He appreciated it, and he put it in his pocket like I had just given him a gift. Whereas I think what happens with most people when you give them a business card, they shove it in their pocket, or they think, can I write on this later? You know, it doesn't really become something that's...
It's true, actually. In China, too, it's like this. If you don't do that, it's an extreme disrespect. It's required to look at the front, look at the back, give it some thought, and then put it in your wallet or put it in your pocket as something that is very valued to show respect to the other person.
Armand DeMille, Ben Starr, Julian Gioiello. We're talking about honoring, and we're going to be taking your calls later at 212-957-2729. So if we were to honor the people we work with, right, if we honor the people we work with, we're going to be saying something to them. Let's say that they are just equals. They're on an equal level to you. You don't get any points by browning up to them in any way. You know, you're not going to get anything for it. Does it pay for you to be, in effect, being nice? Be nice in a positive way. What's the danger?
Well, is there any danger in being too positive, like you're dodging real life or you're dodging some kind of like numbness or something in you by just kind of blindly being positive?
Sure. Sure. So I know people who are manic. And if they're manic and they're around me and they're being very light and they're just complimenting everything and
right,
smiling about everything, that doesn't touch me. That's not a sincere, that doesn't seem to be a sincere kind of honoring. That's a recognition, and you're right, Julian, it feels insincere. It doesn't touch me.
Right.
However, when you can give it to somebody, right? When you can honor someone in a decent way, like, you know, you, because you're here and you're sitting here and you're very well dressed. This is my cousin, Julian, by the way, we're talking to. I'm so lucky to have you in my life, Julian. You know, you've been with me now, what, 2 years, is it?
Yep.
Two years you've been doing the engineering with me. It's been amazingly fruitful. You know, it's been wonderful what we've produced.
Seriously.
During the hard years, you know?
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've changed my life in a million ways, and it's been fantastic, and I'm glad I'm here always.
Hmm. And we're lucky to run into you, Ben. You know, I was really lucky that you have you come along when you did.
I mean, I feel honored just to be here.
Yeah, and I feel honored to have you here.
It feels complete with Ben here. The trifecta.
Yeah, I think this honor topic okay, is...
Stop a moment, right? That was spontaneous, friends. That wasn't planned. And you saw how it just melted right around here. Now, one of the things that happened, I noticed, as that happened, as we had this trifecta, as you called it, which is perfect, is it's like a pregnant moment. It's almost like embarrassing. It's almost like, ooh, it's an open space. Ooh, it's a very sensitive space. Maybe we should turn it into something. Maybe we should make something with it. Maybe we should ignore it. But it's a very sensitive, vulnerable place. So to be honoring in a sincere way is to make yourself vulnerable. To be honoring in a non-sincere way is to make yourself invulnerable, you know, because then you're just being a phony.
You're closing off and you're...
Yeah, that's the difference that you were asking about. So my temptation, of course, is as soon as we got the recognition, as soon as you recognized me and I recognized you, I saw what happened. I sort of go, ooh, let's go on back to the topic.
Yeah.
But there was a moment here where it was just like, it was felt.
Definitely.
You could rewind.
Yeah.
There is no rewinding, is there?
No.
No rewinding anymore. So, I'm sorry, you were saying, somebody was saying.
Well, I just think it's a great topic because there's in many ways, there's a lack of honor between people. You know, even between people who are close or in a workplace. I mean, I think it's something that we should strive to incorporate more in small ways. You know, and like you said, honor is a big word, but I don't believe that a gesture of honor has to be, you know, grandiose. I mean, it could be a passing compliment. That's honor. And, you know, just now you telling Julian how much you've appreciated his work, that's honor. And it's a beautiful thing. But I think it's something that on a daily basis, we're moving so fast that it's easy to sort of forget.
You would like to honor more, right?
I definitely would.
I would too. I would too. Would you, Julian?
Yes. And I would like to be in that place where it is always sincere.
That's right. Because you have a habit. Not you have a habit. You've kind of learned the way to use it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like most of the time it is sincere for me, but there's definitely been times when I feel like I'm doing this as protocol, I'm doing this as the way to, this is how it works, and this is how I'm supposed to do it.
I'm supposed to be nice, I'm supposed to be this way, I got to compliment them on what they do, and this is what I'm supposed to do. That's one place, and the other place is you would like to feel it as sincere and really do it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely find myself honoring people, and very sincerely when I get them a gift. I feel like
I noticed that about
I put
you.
My when I get somebody a gift, I really love doing it. I really, really enjoy just giving somebody something, not asking for something back, thinking about it, making sure it matters to them, making sure it matters to me, and the act of just taking that and passing it on to somebody else who I care about is one of the I think the most sincere way I can always do that for me.
I was teaching a young man the other day about when you go to visit anyone. I said, when you go to visit anyone, bring something.
Yeah.
Bring something with you, whatever you do. And bring a bottle of water if you want. Bring anything. Bring a bottle of soda. Bring a bottle. Bring a flower. Bring something with you. And second thing, when you're there, clean something. Clean something up. Because young folks, tend not to clean things up. And I could talk about you two guys after you left my house the other night where the dishes were all over the sink. You didn't do a thing. You just figured somebody's going to come along and clean it up, right? But anyway.
Well, usually.
Yeah, usually, right. But it was all me. Okay, so saying to somebody, bring something, and what you do, Julian, whenever you come and you visit me, for example, you bring a little something with you. I love the fact that you think that way. Or when you stopped by the other day and you brought a sandwich for me, you said, I picked this up on the way.
Yeah, I got that pastry from my favorite bakery.
Right, it touches me because it is a kind of honoring. It's not just thoughtfulness. It's, hey, this is for you. It's a gift.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a show of, hey, you know, I was thinking about you. Something that simple.
So the concept of giving, the concept of giving recognition to, right? We know it's easy to do, but we know we want it to be sincere. And sometimes we suspect that if we do it, we make ourselves vulnerable to somebody else. Vulnerable because they could do any number of things. One of the worst things you could do with someone when they honor you is to be sarcastic. Oh, right? Yeah. Oh, God, it cuts like a knife right through your bones. You know, hey, you look really pretty in what you're wearing today. Yeah, but I think I look fat. Or something that you say is a sarcastic
response. Right,
they're
negating it immediately.
Yes, they're going to put it down. I don't want to recognize what you're saying. I don't want to be for what you're saying. You know, you look good today. Actually, I have great concern about the fact that people, in order to honor each other, use appearance. I think you should never use appearance to honor someone. Here's the reason I think that. I think that because appearance is usually something like a mask we put on. And so if you compliment somebody for their mask, you're not complimenting them for themselves. So I think if you say to someone, you know, I love the way you say good morning. You're saying one thing. But if you say, I love those high heels you're wearing, you know, you're saying a whole other thing to them. You're talking about their mask.
Yeah, it's like you're basically saying, I like your choice in what you bought yesterday.
So I'm recognizing you and I'm honoring you, but not you. I'm recognizing the you that you're putting on.
Right. Shell.
Right.
The shell. So one of the ways of complimenting someone. So now comes the question: is it just about complimenting or is it just recognizing? And I think it's recognizing. Now this becomes the opposite. What about when people are sitting around and they're kind of gossiping? Now that's a danger zone when you're in a gossip danger zone because people are generally at that point dishonoring. They're dishonoring someone else.
Well, one of the things from that Joel Osteen piece was he was encouraging people to talk good behind someone else's back.
That was his phrase. Talk right. good behind someone's back.
Talk good behind someone's back. So, for example, if you're talking to your boss and you tell them, hey, you know, this coworker, they're doing a great job, something like that. And the power of that, how when someone's not around, a compliment or honoring them is even more powerful if you do it and they're not there to hear it.
Yes, and so for example, if Julian walks out of the room and you and I had a comment to make, it would be something that would kind of honor his presence in the way he does it, or honor anybody that we know who's... So one of the things that you do is if people are talking badly about one person... You could interject the positive. You know who does that all the way? Audrey does. Audrey, whenever I speak to Audrey, and I spend a lot of time with Audrey, if I'm talking to her and there's anything at the moment, anything that strikes me badly, I'll say it to her and I'll say, you know, that person never shows up. And she'll say, yes, but he's been faithful, and she'll just bring back right immediately. Mm-hmm. She'll add something back that I may not have in my vision at the moment. So it's kind of presenting a strength about just about everyone.
Is there a way to honor in the other way? Because I feel like I remember in high school, I had a group of friends, guys, and it was all the guys you hang out with, and you go out and play games and you drink and whatever. And in their way, honoring a lot of the time was putting each other down. It was very weird. It was I mean, at sometimes it was aggressive, but sometimes it was like you mess with each other because that's honoring each other as friends. Look, we're best buddies, so I can make fun of you.
It's like in the military. It's like slapping somebody in the face. Yes. Yes, I understand that as part of adolescent growing up. I understand that as, you know, monkeys in a tree beating up other monkeys and trying to see which one is the strongest monkey, or, you know, children trying to come to the top. Sure. Sure. I think it's beyond that. I think it's when you're ready to give up your childhood that you begin the true honoring. It's not honoring as a child. So the honoring as a child very often becomes to, you know, who's the more powerful? I could slap you, you could slap me, I could punch you in the stomach, you could punch me in the stomach. Who could take more? Or you jabs at each other, you know, you're really looking this way or that way of taking jokes at each other. However, when it gets to the point where you don't do it, even if you're in a crowd of people who do that, it's very amazing. Now, if people are doing it to you, though, what happens?
Oh, yeah, constantly. I mean, I was the one that got that. And I was wondering if it was honor or if it was just a jab.
You were always being challenged to...
Yeah, I was the one that got challenged a lot in our group.
Well, wait a minute. You know, I got together with you two guys the other night, and the thing that you competed on was who could show me something more disgusting on the... on YouTube.
Oh, God. Ben, you're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
and it was like, and who could take it? You know, I can't look at that. I can look at that.
Oh, man.
That was a bonding of sorts in that place. It's just what you're talking about.
Right.
I definitely relate to what you're saying. I mean, in high school and younger, my group of friends and I, we did relate to each other much the way that, you know, you described. And for those friends that I'm still in touch with from that time in my life, when we all get together, it's like that still. Mm-hmm. Even though that's not how I relate to or interact with or honor other people in my life.
Yeah.
But there is the sort of roughhousing and name-calling, you know, lovingly, but name-calling nonetheless.
It's interesting because we were saying how vulnerable it was when we were speaking so honestly and honorably, I guess we can say, to each other before, like earlier in the show. And I feel like a lot of the time the men I know have problems being vulnerable, or they have walls that they want to put up. And I feel like the easy way out for them sometimes is to just be loving in an aggressive way rather than being in a vulnerable way. And I feel like we see that with this sort
that
of interaction.
That may almost be genetic. You know, it may almost be that it's a trap of our testosterone.
Yeah.
You know, that we're not supposed to be vulnerable. We're not supposed to show the soft spot because we're supposed to be the attackers. Mm. I think you're right. But if we try to get to this subject, if we try to stay on this honoring, so. Anybody can. And you know where else it's very available to do? It's very available to do in text messaging. When you text message, include a pronoun. Now listen to this. This is I've been receiving a lot of texts and I've been sending out a lot of texts. Include a pronoun. Put an I and a you in there somewhere. And don't leave it out. And you'll find somewhere in there you're starting to show feelings. And then try to imagine texting a whole group of people that you know and saying something positive to each one of them. You know, I love the way you write. I like I like every time I hear your voice. You know, I'm something about a person that you could just say, I was thinking about you, or I was listening to The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille, and he said, think about something positive about one of your friends. So I thought about you, and I thought about how I enjoy how you like to plan things for us. Boom. So I thought I'd send you a letter of appreciation, and just something like that, putting it out there.
It's interesting about text messages and emails, too, in general. Like, when you get one out of the blue, it is kind of like this extension of a hand. Like, I haven't heard from this person in a month, but you get something and you know that they were thinking about you. And it's a little reach out.
I got that recently when we did the Twitter page.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of people, Susie Pruden from California, somebody from Florida, somebody from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the technology that we have now has created these opportunities to connect and reconnect.
But it's how you do it that's so important. And it's you notice what we've tried to do is to make it as almost non-feeling as possible.
Yeah, as invulnerable. I feel like the word you used before.
Yeah, that's why I think the I and the you, to keep the pronouns in there, you know, to keep it in there. I feel, or right, I was thinking of you, as opposed to thinking of you. Mm. You know, I was thinking of you. I, personally, you, the person.
Right.
And that's already existing and saying, I exist, you exist, I'm recognizing your existence. And it makes for something kind of beautiful. And now the other thing that I've learned, which is really fantastic, is I can now dictate my emails and texts. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing dictating text is. It's a wonderful thing. And then you get a chance to review it. Because if I were to type it, I would leave out all the things. I would never say as much as I do when I dictate it. Of course, for that, you have to have unlimited texts somewhere in your portfolio. But it's really been wonderful. So our telephone here is 212-957-2729. We're talking about honoring. We're going to be taking your calls in a few minutes. But right now, I want to continue with this. So now comes the big question. If you're thinking about honoring the people who you work with, right? Can you honor the people who are walking down the street? Is there somebody who you're going to see today? Is there anyone? If it's a nod, even if it's a nod, mind you, it makes a difference. If somebody walks past you at work and you nod at them, a nod can make such an enormous difference.
I love the nod. Yeah. I try to give out as many nods, you know, to even to strangers. I mean, it's just an acknowledgement that someone exists.
Yeah, and especially in New York.
Yeah, it's exactly. Like, in the city.
You're around all these people, and you're all not acknowledging people, anybody else. It's like, it's almost like you have to go out of your way not to. And if
well,
you are.
But you keep in mind, you know, again, it does, if you're a woman,
yeah.
You're walking down the street, and you nod, you may be sending out an invitation. The way many people would kind of grab that, you know, oh, a guy would grab that, how would he take it? So it's like that. I could understand the reluctance.
Absolutely.
And so they kind of, you know, you kind of, but it's really beautiful to be able to do it without having any intention behind it. You know, not being afraid to do it, not being able to receive it. Well, what do you do if you're a woman and you nod hello to somebody and then that somebody comes over and says, oh, I want to meet you, and then he sees it as an invitation? How do you think you handle that?
I can't really relate to that as a man, but I mean, I could say that, you know, there's been times where I just don't want to speak to a particular person and they're kind of in my space. So I understand it from that sort of perspective.
But what if you nodded to that person?
I don't know.
So you nod a greeting and then the person comes back and then you're in a subway car and you nod a greeting to someone and they come over and they suddenly say, hey, listen, I noticed you nodded to me. You interested in having sex with me? You know, things change.
Sure.
Sure. This is Armando Mill with you at the Positive Mind here in the... Well, I just wanted to move things along a little bit.
Sure.
We're going to be taking a short break, and when we come back from our break, we're going to play you some music, because one of the things that we're looking to is honoring. But most of all, you know, comes the big question. How can you honor yourself? That's a really big question. How could you honor yourself right now? What recognition can you give yourself right now that would be an honoring of you? And when we come back, we'll take our calls. You can call. We'll be answering the phone, 212-957-2729. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Everybody that you're running to.
know the stable singers. How could you not dance to that? How could you not?
Enormous. Tremendous, tremendous energy there. I mean.
Tremendous. I mean, I wanted to be there. I'm sure. I saw some videos of their performance, but I'm sure being in that presence would have been amazing. This is Armand DeMille with you with Ben Starr and Julian Joyella. We're talking about honoring yourself, honoring people, honoring the ones around you, and we have on the radio with us, Evelyn is on the phone. Hi there, Evelyn.
Hi, Armand. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hi. You know, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
The universe really talks to us sometimes, because I caught that Joel Osteen show.
Did you on Sunday morning?
Yes, and it was just a coincidence, because and I spent all Saturday night sort of obsessing about an event that had happened, and I was all set to communicate to family member and to, you know, express myself, and then I caught that show.
What a funny thing.
It was like, two WBAI people. I had so many questions, and I did something wrong. And then today, something told me to wait. I had to go somewhere, and I said, no, I want to listen to Positive Mind first, and it's about the show. So, I was supposed to call you today.
Obviously.
I have a question about this whole concept, though, because I'm questioning something that I did. And beating myself up for it. Should I explain?
Yeah, tell me what you think.
Okay. Family members, Thanksgiving. I'm 60. My nephew, who's 29, had Thanksgiving. I happen to have not had my cell phone for a week. Apparently, he sent me a voicemail thing saying, hey, what you doing? Call me back. And of course, I didn't get it. When I did get my phone back on Saturday, there were text messages and phone calls from siblings and his parent that, hey, he invited you and you didn't show up, kind of thing, or you didn't answer. So I was bothered by that, and I was going to communicate to him in the only way they know how, texting. And I had this whole thing formulated in my mind, but after I caught the show, I edited it down and I told myself, don't do it. You know, you're going to be negative and keep, you got to honor them and don't be anything but positive. So I wasn't going to do, anyway, long story short, I did send a text, my mistake. And I thought I kept it positive. I explained I didn't have the phone. And I also said something like, you know, I felt dishonored, yeah, using Osteen's words, that you told the family that I just didn't respond to you.
Well, no, Osteen did not say, I felt dishonored. No, he never in his lecture that he advocates saying that. That's using it in the kind of the other way.
That's why I knew I did something wrong.
That's right, because you weren't dishonored.
No, it kind of felt like I know this family, and they were talking bad behind someone's back.
Well, that's okay, yes, I understand that.
The message to the family was, we invited her, and she just didn't come.
But Evelyn, you know, if somebody calls you a kangaroo, it doesn't make you jump. You see,
right?
it doesn't mean you are what they say you are. They could say anything they want about you. That's really not you automatically. It's that there's a part of you that feels wrong. Now, I could tell you something about people I know who have broken cell phones at this point in life. Anybody I know who's got a non-functional phone is a passive-aggressive person. I generally don't find anything but passive-aggressive people who have broken phones.
It wasn't broken. I left it in work.
I know. Same kind of thing.
Okay.
Same kind of thing. It's like when my phone is not functional and you're depending on my phone to get to me, I have my way of getting to you, which is I can conveniently not have that phone working. So if they think that they're going to get to you that way and you leave your phone at work, you have your own way of saying, you know, screw you all. I don't want to be in touch.
I have a house phone.
But it didn't bother you enough to go back and get it, right?
I only work one day a week. I didn't go. I don't go back and forth to the work.
Okay, so you're explaining to me how this happens, and then they didn't call you on your house phone. They called you only on the cell phone, and they texted messages on the cell phone, and that led to all of this. You understand something is broken here? Because there is something about, like you said, it's the only way we communicate is through text. What's happened? What's happened to the connection?
Well, I think that's wrong. I kind of don't communicate by text, and everybody who knows me knows that. So right there, it's like, well, the kids know that about me, and so for them to just do the text isn't really, they know they may not get me. It's sort of like, my aunt is 96. I wouldn't think I'm going to text her. I would go, I honor her by going to her or calling her. Some people are just not connected to the technology the same way.
So the question becomes the following, right? Not about how you have been dishonored or but what can you do to honor the people who felt offended by you?
Well, I made the mistake of just saying I didn't get the messages, but please don't communicate to everyone that I just disrespected him. I ended it saying, I love you. He called me back and screamed at me and told me shut up and started getting, it was very volatile. And I just, right away, I mean, I've lived with people with PTSD. I've had a raging mother. So at my age, it was sort of when he started screaming at me, I just said, please don't speak to me that way. You can't speak to me that way.
Okay,
Evelyn.
You made a mistake, didn't you?
Like
you said
that's
to me,
what
right?
I'm feeling.
Okay,
I made
just so for this moment, I want you to just feel what it's like to just simply say, like you did to me before, I made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Just say those words. And feel it. Say it out loud.
I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry I made a mistake.
No, I'm sorry for what I did. Not I'm sorry I made a mistake.
I'm sorry for what I did.
Okay, stop there now. We don't know who you're saying it to, but you're saying it to yourself. You regret this. You regret having done this. You got yourself in a little trouble. Almost every time you see a text stream, you'll find people leading themselves into trouble, you know, eventually getting in there, making some kind of a mistake. You made a mistake, Evelyn. Now, is it okay if you forgive Evelyn?
Yes.
Yeah. And that means if you forgive Evelyn, you have to forgive everybody else who responded and start all over again.
Correct.
Yeah.
And this is where I'm at. I actually do think that way. I don't have a problem with that at all. But it's still not okay to respond to someone trying to communicate to you. Because when he called, he said, what's going on? He yelled, and I said, let's talk about it. And that's when he raged.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay either to rage and disrespect your elder. And that's something else. I mean, yes, I made a mistake. Yes, I'm sorry for what I did. I kind of had a gut feeling not to do it. I edited it down so it was positive, but it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's also, it's not okay for him to have raged back. I have.
All right. So this is taking us in a kind of a circle.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He did.
It doesn't matter.
He did. It doesn't matter.
My love is unconditional.
That's the one. You've got to give it up. Forget about what they do. You have to give it up.
It won't matter, but I've been sitting here like, I don't want to add to it by trying to communicate more at this point.
Well, leave it alone, Evelyn. You may know what you're doing.
And I want to leave it alone.
Leave it alone for a while.
My question is that okay? Can I just leave it alone?
Leave it alone, of course. Of course. It's a good thing.
If he rang my bell right now, I'd say, come on in, have a cup of coffee. I love you, you know?
That would be that easy. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, hon.
Sure. 212-957-2729. One of the more difficult things that people do when they start dishonoring each other is when you hear couples who are dishonoring or mates who are dishonoring their mate. It is so painful for me to hear somebody talking badly about their mate. It is so, when I hear them saying my wife this or my husband this. Now, as a therapist, I understand that. And as a therapist, I use that as a technique when I'm working with couples. But to hear somebody just casually dishonoring their mate, if you hear it on a subway or in somewhere else, it's painful to me. Of all things in the world that you should never dishonor, dishonoring your mate is truly dishonoring yourself.
And it makes you wonder, I mean, if that's how you feel, then why do you continue to make a daily choice to be with that person?
Hmm. The question really becomes, Ben, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of either or. It makes me wonder, what are you feeling and how do you deal with it? Not either leave, but what is it that you're not dealing with? And if you're angry and you can't deal with this anger, but it's okay if you decide that you're not happy with your mate's choices, then live with that. But don't tell someone else who's going to tell someone else who's going to tell someone else. That's where the dishonoring is. The dishonoring is in the reputation. And the reputation of each other is what really makes a difference, because this world does travel. And you know, nowadays in the social media, anything, any attitude can get spin real fast, real fast. Hey, Catherine's on the line. Let's say hello to Catherine. Hi, Catherine. You're on the line. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. How are you?
Good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Time. Well, first I would say I've been on the road of trying to learn to honor myself. I think I've gotten better at it. And in listening to Evelyn's conversation with you, I could relate to her judging the actions of others and, saying you feel dishonored. And I think I probably still do what she does sometimes, but I think I've been learning to try to honor where people are already coming from.
That's exactly, it's a good point. That's a very good point, Catherine. You know, being able to say, I'm honoring where they're coming from. You know,
right.
I'm watching where they're coming from.
And I think by doing that, then we are able to honor ourselves, because then we're not victims anymore.
Well, that's a good point. You know, it's good. It means they're not aiming at you. It's where their tension is originating inside of them. And then when I see that, when I see somebody who's bent and really bent out of shape, and I see a lot of people who are bent out of shape, I kind of respect them. You know, I could respect them. I could say I could see where you are.
Right.
And that's what they appreciate so much.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you learned to do this?
By trying to keep watch of myself. I've been trying to use that phrase since I went to church on Sunday. The priest said something about keeping watch, because Advent is the season for keeping watch, you know, for Jesus or whatever, and I just thought it was a nice phrase and became my mantra only since Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Just to keep watch and keep aware.
Yeah, most people don't wear them at all nowadays, you know. I just dug out my watch.
Uh-huh.
And you got your watch, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what
try.
He really meant, you know.
We try.
The cell phones have just gotten too big to be carrying, yes. Wear a watch.
So I related to what you said about the cash register in the sky, about the honor, like, you know, you kind of put it in the bank and you're supposed to get it back, that you had kind of disagreed with.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sure, because, you know, in other cultures, there's a belief that if you do it today, it gets paid forward in your next lifetime.
Right.
You know,
well,
if you
I
do
think
it.
It's like, yeah, it's fuzzy. It's between, because I kind of think, like, more like in a metaphysical way, like, if every, not metaphysical, I just, like, the law of physics, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. It might not be with that person that you honored or dishonored, but I think the energy that you put out is going to come back.
Well, if you think about it, what does it cost to be negative? what kind of, even what chemicals do you have to call it in your brain? You have to drop your dopamine, you have to drop your serotonin, you have to lift up this anxiety stuff. You have to get to a certain level of place. And what kind of chemistry does it take for you to transmit a negativity to someone? And then what kind of chemicals does it take for you to transmit a positivity to somebody, to honor somebody? It calls on a different set of chemicals in your mind. So even it's a gift to yourself.
Right.
It's a gift to your body.
It requires less energy to be giving and positive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Okay.
212-957-2729. It looks like this subject is going to require quite a bit more of covering. I'm going to take a look at more of this at tomorrow as well, Joel. More of what we saw with Joel Osteen. We're going to have to look at it further tomorrow, because now there becomes this stuff about what do you do in your relationship. How do you honor your wife and your husband? How do you do it? And what happens when you stop doing it? And why do you stop doing it? There are some people who honor their spouse so much that they don't hear it anymore, you know? You just, you're wonderful, you're great, you're good. There are some people who honor their children that way, and they do it with their children, and they kind of, the children don't even hear the good stuff anymore. What's the limit of it? What's the level of it? We have to talk about that further, and we will talk about that tomorrow. Lou, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I was struck, and I don't know if you're out of that segment, but I was kind of struck by the segment where you were talking about males showing vulnerability to one another. Am I able to touch on that quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
Why does there seem to be a propensity societal that for us to create a hybrid gender? I mean, I don't think it's really a natural for a lot of men. I don't think that's a natural behavior to open up and show vulnerability to one another. So is that to say that what's to say that we should be exhibiting that type of behavior to one another?
Yeah, I don't think it's really about Lou. I don't think it's about exhibiting that behavior. Well, being vulnerable is as powerful as you could be. If you sit in a group of men like I do with this group that I run, The men are powerful. They're very strong men, and they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable, but they're not weak. They're not tender. They're open.
They're open.
That's
right.
It.
Right.
I'm open. Yeah. I'm not afraid of pain. And that's what vulnerability really is.
Right.
I'm not.
I think depending on a mood and a setting and an atmosphere and an occasion, I think, for males, I would say that, you know, there's been times where I've gone to that type of a place. But I think it has to be in a certain setting, certain atmosphere. I don't think as a norm, it's something. I don't think it's the normal rituals that we do when we engage one another, you know. And I'm not certain that it's that we need to force that type of behavior if it doesn't feel natural. You know what I mean? That's my point, is that, and I don't think it really always feels natural. And if it doesn't feel natural, then is it natural? You know, I think there seems to be, by society, it seems like women are moving away from femininity, and it seems like men are led to believe that they should be moving toward femininity. And I think society is somewhat confused, and I don't think you can fool with Mother Nature to that severe of a degree, that I think we have to be each other. I mean, the laws of attraction are that we're attracted to the opposite characteristics and traits that we have. I think that's from the beginning of time. And I think people in society, in certain professions, want to almost say
Joel,
that...
Joel, thank you. Thank you very much for what you're saying about people. Lou, I'm sorry. This is a good contribution. I think you're right. I think people are trying to identify themselves. We have to be going. We're going to continue with this tomorrow. Be sure to call back tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay, Lou. We're going to have to be going now. If you want to send some comments about this, Armand at thepositivemind.com. www.thebeatnik.com. But right now, we have to tell you about something that's happening here.
So we've had Thanksgiving last week, and then we had Black Friday, and yesterday was Cyber Monday. And now today is Giving Tuesday. It's a global day dedicated to giving back. That's today, December 2nd. And people around the world are going to come together to celebrate generosity and to give back a little bit. So just find a way for your family or your community to give back a little bit today. And that's why we ask you today, if you can, to support WBAI by calling 212-209-2950.
And also you can go to give, the number 2, WBAI.org, give to WBAI.org, become a BAI buddy, donate, become part of this community on this important day of giving here on WBAI 99.5 FM, 212-209-2950. Thanks for listening to The Positive Mind today, here with Armand, and have a great day. Thank you.